now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as I was thinking about the Bible study here this morning, I was thinking that there are several biblical things that are very important for a Christian to know after he becomes a Christian. And just for a few things that I was thinking of, is one would be the difference between the Old and the New Testaments. I think that's a very important thing for us to understand. Another one would be what the world is and what should be the Christian's involvement in this world, because we all are living in this world. A third one that I was thinking of is what the church is and how we as Christians should relate to the church, what our involvement would be there as a local congregation. And four, the importance of witnessing, preaching, and sharing our faith and the faith that was once delivered unto all the saints to unbelievers in our world around us. And the fifth thing that I thought of is the understanding of biblical authority. And in my opinion, these five things are very important for Christians to know after they become a Christian. And there's things that we learn throughout our Christian life that are related to these things that are very important. But in my opinion, understanding biblical authority is one of these most important things. And that's what I want to talk about here today, and actually start a series on biblical authority. It might not be every week, but we'll see how that goes. Many people who have been Christians for a long time, they don't understand authority as the Bible teaches it, and they often don't see the importance of it. But I want for us today and throughout this series to really see the importance that God places in biblical authority in His Word. You know, God often works, He leads and guides in people's lives through their authorities. That's been my experience and the experience of a lot of people that I know. It was something that I was taught shortly after I became a Christian. And God is still teaching me things through His Word concerning authority. Authority is something that a lot of people are afraid of. But when it is used in the biblical way, it gives freedom and peace to a person's life. People should rather be afraid of not being under biblical authority. And I hope that you will see that in this teaching and also in the future teachings. All of us are under authority of some kind, or we should be. And many of us are in authority over others. And if the Lord tarries, all of us, or most all of us anyway, will be in authority sometime in our life as we get older. It's very good for us to know what God says about submitting to authority and what He says about being an authority, to being one that's in authority. But more than just having knowledge of these things, we should all find our place and live out or practice biblical authority in our lives, in both submitting and being in authority. There's a lot of people that have the knowledge, they know what God says about authority, but they still aren't submitting to their authorities and they're not being a good authority. So it's not just knowing, but it's actually living it out and practicing what God says. And there are seven areas of authority that I have discovered in the Bible. The first one is God's, not the first one really that's necessarily in the Bible, but first in my list anyway, God's authority over the angels, the faithful and the unfaithful angels. Number two is husband's authority over his wife. Number three would be a parent's authority over their children. The fourth one is government's authority over its citizens. The fifth one that the Bible talks about is master's authority over his slaves. And in our day and age, I relate that one to employer over employee or teacher over students. The sixth one is church leader's authority over the congregation. And the seventh is God's authority over all His creation, even over the entire human race. In this series on authority, we will study all seven areas of authority. We will see what God says to those under authority and what He says to those in authority. We will see when it is right to not obey our authorities. We will see what the consequences may be if we don't obey our authorities. We will sometimes go back in history and look at the people who have gone before us and learn from their submission and from their rebellion. We will have some examples who have been good leaders, and we will have some examples of bad leaders. We will see that authority lines have jurisdictions. As for an example, the government has the jurisdiction to tell me how fast I can drive, but it doesn't have the authority to tell me how many children we can have or how to discipline our children. Another example would be our boss. He can tell us when to come to work and what to do when we're at work, but he also doesn't have the authority to tell us how to discipline our children or what woman we should marry as our wife. We will see that some authorities we choose and some authorities we don't choose. We will also see that we have the ability and right to change our authorities in some areas, but we don't have any right to change our authorities in other areas. We will see the blessings to those who submit to their authorities and the judgment to those who rebel. Well, those are some of the things that hopefully we'll be looking at in these next lessons. There are seven different areas of authority, and similar things apply in all seven, but there are also different commands, and there's different aspects and different characteristics among those seven areas of authority. The first area that I would like to look at this morning is over God's authority over the angels. God created all the angels, and they were all in obedience to God. The Bible doesn't tell us how long it was like that, but maybe it was like that for thousands of years before God created the heavens and the earth. We don't know really when He created the angels, but maybe they were, it could have been a long time before the account that we have in the Garden of Eden. But at one time, all of the angels were in obedience to God. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 13 through 15, and if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them up and read along with me, but Ezekiel chapter 28, 13 through 15, it says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee." So here we have God's account of anointed cherub, this angel, I would see him as the most, the highest angel in all of heaven. And he had different features about him maybe than any other angel. It says here that he was, the workmanship of his tabrets and of thy pipes. And so it seems that maybe he had something musical built in his body, in his being or whatever he has. And I don't know, I've heard it said before that the devil or Satan, this anointed cherub who was God's creation, maybe led the worship even of God in heaven at one time or something. But he had all these beautiful stones, these precious stones. He was covered with them. It was part of his being. And then also these tabrets and pipes, which maybe speaks of musical instruments here. And he was, it says here that thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. God made him that way. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and he walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire, which I'm not exactly sure what all that means. But he says, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Well, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. And we're going to read that portion there. Isaiah chapter 14. This also is, I believe, talking about the devil. This anointed cherub that was once favored of God, but because, as it said there in Ezekiel, it says, till iniquity was found in thee. Here is where I believe was Lucifer's sin or the devil's sin. It says in verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. So if you notice there, the five I wills, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne, and so on. Those five I wills, that is a mark of rebellion. I will do this. I will do that. And I don't know if some of you who are listening maybe have teenagers at home. Sometimes we hear that kind of, those kind of words. I will do this. I will do that. You're not going to tell me what to do and things like that. Well, this is what the devil, he's the father of rebellion. And this is what it says here, is that he rebelled against God. He says, I'm going to be like the Most High God. And we can see, as the father of rebellion, we can see what God then is going to do, or did to him. And we'll see that in the next verses here. But Satan here rises up in rebellion against God, and God sends him out of heaven. Satan also, which we aren't going to look at that, but he takes with him one-third of the angels. It talks about that in Revelation, I believe, where one-third of the angels fall with him, who also wanted to follow this highest cherub, this highest angel, instead of follow God. So they were also in rebellion. And we call those angels that are fallen, we call them demons now. The Bible calls them demons. So we have Satan or Lucifer and also the demons. Let's look at the punishment or discipline that God has given or has pronounced here in the Bible towards these fallen angels and Satan. In this case, God, as the authority, has given some immediate punishment, which he cast them out of heaven, and maybe some other things. Maybe he took away a lot of their power and different things. I don't really know. But then he also states some future punishment for these angels and for Satan. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And then it goes on in verse 9 says, The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I want us to see a couple things here, that God, He didn't spare the angels that sinned. They were in rebellion, and He judged them. He cast them out of heaven. It says down to hell. Now, there will be a time where they are in the lake of fire, and there'll be no coming out again. But now they're able to do many things here, even in this earth, and we see it all around us, all the wicked and evil things that are going on in this world. A lot of it has to do with Satan and his kingdom. He has a kingdom now. It's those who will follow him, who want to be like him. He has a kingdom that he's ruling over, but someday all of his kingdom will be destroyed in the lake of fire. And I want us to notice also here in verse 9 where it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He makes a comparison here of judging rebellious angels and also judging rebellious people. And it's important for us to see that there is consequences to rebellion. And sometimes it's like here in Satan's case, sometimes it's immediate punishment, but then sometimes it's also future punishment that is pronounced. Okay, if you'll turn over to Jude chapter 6, it says, and the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And that's talking about that great day of judgment where all creation will be judged. And there will be those who will be cast into the lake of fire. Matthew 25, verse 41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you notice there, hell and the lake of fire was not prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But man will also share in the same hell that was prepared for the devil and his demons. Those rebellious people, those who are walking in rebellion or living in rebellion and who do not repent, there will be that same judgment, which will be hell and the lake of fire. Now, as I said earlier, some people don't really see the importance of being in submission to biblical authority. Well, here's one thing that should help us to see the importance, because God will judge those who are rebellious. Well, one other verse here that I want to look at as far as the judgment is Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20, verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So this verse says that the devil that deceived them, who did the devil deceive? Well, he deceived all those who will follow him. All of those who take up their rebellious ways, all the young people who are rebellious in this world today and who don't repent of that. The devil deceives many people today, and it's to be deceived is, you know, a lot of times when people are deceived, or most time when people are deceived, they think they're pretty cool. They think they're right. That's part of deception. They think that it's the right thing. But they'll find out someday that it's not the right thing, that they'll be punished with the devil. And so just challenge each one of us to look at this area of authority in our lives. Are we rebellious to any authorities in our lives? If we are, well, take note of this, that we don't want to be part of the devil's kingdom. He's the deceiver. He's the father of lies, as the Bible tells us. And so it's not going to be the punishment here, this future punishment here isn't going to just be for a short time. It's going to be for day and night, forever and ever, it says. Well, let's look at the obedient angels. It says here in Psalms 103, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So here we have angels that are doing his commandments, listening unto the voice of his word, and doing what he tells them to do. There is and will be a blessing to all the obedient angels, and there will also be a blessing to all the obedient Christians who do Christ's commandments, who listen to his voice, and who are active, living their lives for him, obeying him. Hebrews 1:14 says, "And they not, or are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Here I see that the angels have a very important job. They have a very important work to do, and that's a work to the saints of God. They are ministering spirits, ministering to the heirs of salvation, which would be the Christians. They are, angels have a work, the Bible tells us, of many different things. They've protect us in a lot of ways. They are able to lead and guide, even bring dreams. We see in the New Testament, different ones had dreams that the angels came and brought a dream. Many different things that God sends them on missions to do. And God will also send his faithful servants on missions and on things to do for him. I heard a testimony last night, and I'm not going to be able to share the whole testimony, but there was a missionary, a woman who, I don't think she was really living as a foreign missionary at that time, but she was told of God to go a certain place, and she didn't understand it at all, why she should go, or it didn't make any sense, but it was confirmed by two or three witnesses, and she went to that place. It was a miracle the way she was even able to go there. The plane tickets paid and everything like that. And God used that in a miraculous way for the salvation of many souls. And God's able to do that in our lives if we're in submission to him and not in rebellion. All right, there's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "Are they not all ministering spirits?" Talking about the angels. "Sent forth to minister." Okay, I just read that one. Sorry. "Sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation." These obedient angels. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 11. It says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts." Did I skip something there? "And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God." Yeah, that was verses 9 through 11. The saints of God, they will share in the glorious worship of our Lord and our Savior and the great triune God, and be blessed with the angels forever and ever. Here it says, all the kindreds and peoples and tongues and nations, peoples stood before the throne and before the Lamb. And they're also joined with the angels here. And so just as we saw in the judgment, how the people who are rebellious will join in the punishment of hell, we also see here that the saints of God will share in the glorious worship of our Lord with the angels and with other angelic hosts that God has made. So, to just kind of summarize here, it says, or I want us to see that some angels, they disobeyed God's authority, and they were rebellious, and will suffer eternal punishment. Some angels obeyed God's authority, and they are blessed and will forever enjoy God's provision for them. Now, those who are disobedient, those angels who are disobedient and who will face God's judgment, they are doing their own thing now. Maybe they're causing havoc in the world, and they're causing a lot of evil in the world, and God's allowing them to do those kind of things. But there is going to be a time when they are under God's authority, and that will be in the area of, or in the place of punishment. They will be under God's authority. They won't have any authority of their own. They won't be able to do what they want. They won't be able to deceive the nations anymore. They will be totally, completely under God's authority. And that's the way it will be for all of creation. Even though now there may be rebellious people, and they're but there will be a time when everyone will be under God's authority, whether it be in heaven or in hell. Well, I just ask you today, what about you? Are you obedient to God and to the authorities that are in your life, in your lives? It's very important. There's consequences to not being in obedience to God, and there's blessings for being in obedience to God. So just ask you that question and ask you to consider your own life and consider this whole area of authority, areas that we talked about, these seven different areas, the area of in the home with the I don't know, maybe there's some wives listening here today. Area of your husband's authority over you. Maybe there's young people here that are listening, and you have parents that are your God-given authorities. Are you in submission to them? All of us as citizens of a country, whether it be this country or another country, we have God-given authorities over us in our lives. Also, many of us have jobs. We work for different people. And so we are to submit to those people. Or maybe you are a business owner that are listening to me today. Are you being the kind of authority that God would have you be in your business? So, and then also in the church, if we're part of a local congregation, which I hope all of us are we in submission to the God-given authorities over us there? So I think I'll end with that and just put that out as a challenge for us to consider. And Lord willing, the next time we'll go into areas of authority over the home. We'll look at some of those. So God bless you, and thank you for listening. If you have any questions also, or you would like to contact me sometime, I'd be happy to hear from you. My cell phone number is 717-333-1786. Again, that's 717-333-1786. All right, I'll turn the time over to Brother Don.
Thank you, Brother. One thing that kind of just jumped out to me here this morning in Isaiah 14, there the Brother Steve that said that this is that these I wills are marks of rebellion. And if we look at those, I mean, there could be volumes written on these two verses here in Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. These five I wills is, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And you know, in our lives, when we begin to insert those I wills, I don't know about you, but when you hear of someone exalting their self or complimenting their self, it kind of just bothers me when someone lifts himself up to be somebody, and that big letter I just kind of sounds disgusting sometimes. And I was just really blessed with the message here this morning, and particularly these two verses here. And this is definitely not the attitude of a servant, as the Lord Jesus left that example of being a servant. He was the only one that had the right to say, I am. And we are just servants of the Most High. Well, I'd just like to open it up here this morning. Star 3 will unmute your line so that you can comment.
Yeah, bless the Lord. This is Brother Mose. I was certainly blessed this morning to hear the Word of God again. I'm really looking forward to this series on authority. I think it's a very important subject. So thanks again, Brother Steve, and God bless you as you continue to study and look into this subject.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.